This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Futuro.
When all of this first started, one of the things that was said was that there would be rolling blackouts. But we never experienced, you know, a rolling blackout.
From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a dispatch from a border state without power. The recent power outages in Texas, a consequence of the historic winter storm that struck the area, have shaken the Lone Star State. And while power has been restored for many, the repercussions are deep. The storm left millions without power and water for days.
The entire state, for the first time in weather history, under that winter storm warning. We also had portions in West Texas that were under a blizzard warning.
Many people are placing the blame on renewable energy and frozen turbines. But the vast majority of energy the state generates is through natural gas. Wind turbines account for less than 13% of the total generation that was lost.
The truth is that a privatized, deregulated energy system is at fault. And they knew they had problems to fix, and they've known this since 2011, but they didn't do it.
One of our Latino USA producers, Reynaldo Leaños Jr., is based in the Rio Grande Valley. And during these difficult times, documented his family's experience. So today, a reporter's notebook from La Frontera from Reynaldo Leaños Jr.
We're going on almost 48 hours of not having any power down here in the Mission Palm View area. And thankfully today it's not as cold as it was, you know, the past 48 hours. It's only about 37 degrees right now. Which at least it's not, you know, below freezing temperatures like it was yesterday. I recorded this from my room on a Tuesday night. It was pitch black except for a small battery-powered lantern that I had with me. I had layers of clothes on and a beanie on my almost all-shaved head to try and stay warm. Our power went out early Monday morning when temperatures were below freezing. And that evening, people living in cities north of here were bracing for snow and freezing temperatures again. I don't remember ever feeling this cold in the valley. I had dealt with cold weather in New York City where I lived for a while, but not in the RGV. It did snow once down here when I was younger, but that was also a historic event and it was only a tiny bit and we had power and heat. On other colder days, I just make it a point to not go out, and if I had to, I knew I was lucky enough to be coming back to some warmth. We never experienced, you know, a rolling blackout. The closest thing to that was at around 2 a.m. on Monday morning, the lights went out, and then they came back for maybe about 10 seconds, and then they turned back off, and then maybe they came back for another 15 or 10 seconds, and then they just, you know, ended up staying off. When I listen back to this recording, I now know that some communities like mine never experienced these so-called rolling blackouts. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, is the state's grid operator. Texas, unlike other states across the country, has an independent power grid where the majority of the state gets its power from. This got a lot of national attention during the fallout after the winter storm, especially when news came up that officials were warned almost 10 years ago that Texas needed to winterize its power grid. ERCOT said they were minutes and seconds away from a catastrophic blackout that could have left Texans without power for months. Here's Bill Magnus, the CEO and president of ERCOT, on CNN.
What we saw when the storm came in was the demand on the system spiking to levels we've never seen in the winter season in Texas, and the supply, also because of the storm, having a lot of the generation plants knocked out as the storm blew through the state. So we had the worst kind of combination we could see, and we got to a point where we weren't going to be able to serve the demand, and we had to ask for outages. That unfortunately had to stay in place for days until we could stabilize the system.
On March 3rd, the ERCOT Board of Directors gave Magnus a 60-day termination notice and began a search for his replacement. My parents and I were among the families whose outage lasted for days. Before recording myself in my room, I sat down with my parents in our living room to get the reaction to what was going on. Here's my dad.
They should have let us know at least on time to so we can get prepared. Because like I tell mom, we try to pay our bills every month so it won't be late, so they won't disconnect our power or electricity. And then when we need it the most, they disconnect our power, you know? We don't have light.
My family and I were not ready for this type of situation. Mostly because we hardly deal with temperatures this cold down here on the border, and when we've lost power before, it's come back pretty quickly. Thankfully, we had a small tank of propane and a portable burner that you can power up using some of that propane to cook with. Kind of like what you use when you go camping. During our first few days in the dark, my mom cooked things like ground beef with corn and potato and eggs in that portable burner before the eggs and meat spoiled. We also had tuna sandwiches and some fruit. Unlike in neighboring towns, a lot of the fast food restaurants around us didn't have power, so that meant there wasn't food to buy from unless we traveled a little bit. On the third day of the power outage, my mom and dad had to throw things out of our fridge because they were starting to go bad. Things like milk, leftover eggs, ham, condiments, chicken, and other items had to be disposed of. I asked my mom if she had ever experienced anything like this.
This brought back memories because as cold as it was, even though it wasn't freezing when I was, you know, younger, I felt the same cold. Growing up, I wish that I would never have to go through this again. And I can't believe this happened. I mean, when we were little, I mean, we only had one heater and we were all huddled around it and... at least we had some sort of heat, and but the nights were brutal. I mean, they were so cold, and that's what I felt. Like if I was back in my childhood, you know, spending the cold night.
My dad also said he experienced something similar when he was a kid.
I can't really remember a lot because I don't want to like go back to that time because it didn't feel good.
Both my mom and dad have told me throughout the years about some of the poverty that they lived through while growing up in towns close to where we currently live. And it seemed like this winter storm and blackout brought back some of those memories. Memories that we realize had stuck with them all these years. Hearing this from my parents made me feel sad. I could tell my mom was concerned. She would ask among us when we thought we might get power back and that she couldn't believe this had happened. My dad kept a pretty serious face. I tried my best to keep a positive attitude and would play with our cats to make us laugh. Our cats Simba and Lana had blankets to stay warm with. And for the first time, my parents were okay with letting them sleep with them on their bed. But it wasn't just my parents or me with this sense of anxiety and feelings. On social media, some people in Texas were talking about what it was like going through this historic storm. They said things like how them not having power and not knowing when they would get it back triggered memories of what it was like for them to live through Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Another post I saw said how sitting in their cold, candle-lit room reminded them of a moment back in foster care. It was getting late, so I started to wrap up my recording for the night. I'm probably going to go to bed really soon because, you know, there isn't much to do and... I also don't want to waste all the battery on my phone because I have less than 10% at this time. So I'll check in, you know, tomorrow and see if we have power. I usually go to bed around midnight and check the news and social media until the very last minute. But during the power outage, what kept me up was thinking about how we didn't know when it would end. From what I had seen on social media, nobody really knew exactly when we'd get power back. That night, I slept with layers of clothes on and with about 3 blankets on top of me to try and stay warm. I remember tossing and turning at night because I couldn't sleep comfortably. I also kept thinking about how things were so much worse up in the northern parts of Texas because they were dealing with snow and ice. I was also thinking about asylum seekers at the migrant camp in Matamoros, Mexico, because I'd report on them and I knew a lot of them. Now, they've started to allow them into the U.S. to go through their asylum process. But at the time of the storm, they had posted videos of icicles hanging from the tents they slept in. Hundreds, if not thousands, of sea turtles were cold-stunned near the beach in the Gulf of Mexico and were being rescued. And I knew that crops would be destroyed down here. I'm usually pretty restless at night, but that night, I had a lot on my mind.
So today it's Wednesday and it's around 9:30 in the morning and we still don't have power.
Thankfully, today would be a somewhat warmer day. There were still long lines at the gas station and some still didn't have power, so their pumps weren't working. My dad had gone to the grocery store and said the shelves were pretty empty and people looked stressed out. Two of my uncles, who live about 15 minutes from my house, had power, so we were fortunate enough to have been able to have showered and charge our devices at one of their houses the day before. While I was there, I had a heightened sense of caution and anxiety every time I would turn on a light or plug something in, because I was worried that whatever light or outlet I used would possibly result in their power going out, and then it would be my fault and I'd feel guilty. I started catching up on news and reading about how some people across the state had no running water, pipes were bursting because of freezing temperatures, people had died because of carbon monoxide poisoning, and how there were boil water notices. I went to bed later that night frustrated with what was going on across the state and some of the rhetoric I was hearing.
There is another cold front that's on its way, with temperatures also expected to be below freezing, so we'll see how, you know, that plays out. You know, temperatures are supposed to get colder tomorrow, and we're already talking about how we might go spend the night at one of our one of my uncle's houses tomorrow. So we might have to do that.
As we started to drive to my uncle's house to spend the night there on Thursday evening, the plan was that my mom and I would sleep over there and my dad would come back to the house to stay with our cats and to see if the power would come back. When we got to the end of our street, we spotted a truck from our electric company and we hoped that maybe they'd be restoring our power soon. When we got to my uncle's house, my mom called our landline to see if it would ring. She dialed the number and it rang. That meant we had power back. We breathed a sigh of relief and hoped that when we got home, the power was still on because there had been some instances where people lost their power again shortly after getting it back. We thanked my aunt and my uncle and drove home. The first thing I did when I got home was take a warm shower. I got nervous turning on any lights because I was afraid any little thing could cause the power to go out. My family and I made sure to unplug things that we didn't need to try and conserve as much energy as possible. When we sat down to watch the news, we saw that so many people across the state still didn't have power, and water was not accessible, and that power in the RGV was spotty. News was also breaking that Texas Senator Ted Cruz traveled to Cancun.
Being in the teens and the 20s outside, our girls asked, said, look, school's been canceled for the week. Can we take a trip and go somewhere warm? And Heidi and I, as parents, we said, okay, sure. And so last night I flew down with them to the beach, and then I flew back this afternoon. I had initially planned to stay through the weekend and to work remotely there. But
the finger pointing and accountability would continue. Community organizers would step up and help during these times as best they could. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would raise millions for Texas relief, and she traveled to Houston.
Disasters don't strike everyone equally. When you already have so many families in the state and across the country that are on the brink, that can't even afford an emergency to begin with, when you have a disaster like this, it can just set people back for years, not just for days.
Since the winter storm, at least 7 ERCOT board members have resigned. Some Texans have received high electric bills after the storm. Governor Greg Abbott has said that there will be an investigation into ERCOT. On February 26, President Joe Biden visited the state, days after he approved a major disaster declaration that would allow federal resources to help the state. As for me and my family, we've kind of gone back to normal, but we now know that we should be prepared for climate events, even during the winter, no longer just during hurricane season. I look forward to seeing what changes, if any, come after the most recent dark days in the state of Texas.
This episode was produced by Reynaldo Leaños Jr. and edited by Andrea Lopez Cruzado. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Marta Martinez, Julieta Martinelli, Alisa Escarce, Ginny Montalvo, Alejandra Salazar, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raul Perez. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw, with help from Alicia Baitub and Gabriela Baez. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our interns are Samantha Friedman and Carly Rubin. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Before we go, we've got a question for you. Latino USA wants to know what questions you have about the COVID-19 vaccine and the vaccination process. We want to try and help you find answers. So call us at 646-571-1224. That's 646-571-1224 and leave us a voicemail or send a voice memo with your questions and a little bit about yourself to audience@latinousa.org. That's audience@latinousa.org. We'll be listening to all of your voice memos, and your question might be featured on an upcoming episode. Gracias. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode, and in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Ahí los veo. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Latino USA is made possible in part by the Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
This episode was produced by... Okay, here we go. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA. It's been a year since COVID-19 paralyzed the world. We check in with those impacted across the country, from asylum seekers waiting at the border to restaurant owners in the South Bronx.
I try to remember every time, this could be my daddy, this would be my mama that we're burying.
That's next time on Latino USA.